grateful, Father, for this day. Lord, we're grateful, Lord, for the breath of life, Father, for just the chance to come together in Jesus' name, Lord. Just the chance to come together, Father, as your people, Lord, that are called by your name, that know you, Father, that you've chosen, Lord, even from the foundation of this world. And Lord, just this morning as we would spend some time, Father, in your word and before you, Lord, in your presence. Lord, we pray, Father, that your spirit that leads and guides us into all truth would be with us in this time. Lord, that every word that's spoken, Father, would just be in accordance with your spirit into what it is that you are leading and guiding us into this day, Lord, because your spirit is a spirit of truth, Father. And Lord, accordingly, Lord God, also just acknowledge openly, Father, that there's nothing good, Lord God, in me or in any of us, Father, except for your Spirit. And to your Spirit, we now yield of our free will, Lord. And we pray, your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Matthew chapter 6. Okay. And it is always good to come together in Jesus' name. Okay. Now, Matthew chapter 6. I was thinking about something recently. All right. How many of us know the Lord's Prayer? Okay. Or we call it the Lord's Prayer, yes? And sometimes people rattle it off very quickly. They're, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." You know, when I was a kid, I remember in school, in Sri Lankan school, they used to separate everyone according to their religion. So they'd have the morning prayers, and so the Muslims would go there, the Christians would go there, the Buddhists would go there. And I remember they had a special spot for the Christians / Catholics, because they all went to one place, no? And at one point we would have we'd have to say the Lord's Prayer. And so with my friends, we had the race to see who could say it the fastest. Yeah. And you knew who won, because whoever did the sign of the cross the quickest as soon as it was finished. So we didn't know. We were just... So it was like, "Our Father..." Like that. No, but we have all kinds of rituals that we do and that we've been trained to do, and people think about, and they do them without even thinking anymore. Okay, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5 says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." We'll just stop there for now.
Yeah.
Okay, so now Jesus, our ultimate teacher, yes? And Jesus, under the quickening of the Holy Spirit as He begins to minister in the earth, giving us an example for how we do it as well. So He tells people here, okay, now when you pray, you know, if you're going, when you pray, not if, but when, because God's people are to pray. Yeah, he tells them, first of all right, go into your closet, go into a place where you can get away with God. Now, if you're in your closet, does anybody know that you're there? Or does anybody know what you're doing when you're there? Okay. Nobody knows. You could be singing, you could be crying, you could be doing what? Nobody knows. You know, a friend of mine told me, he said, you know, it's you have a much better idea of who a person is by what they do when they're by themselves. You have a much better idea of who a person is by what they do when they're alone, when they're by themselves. So, because the person that people are when they're around other people, sometimes they do so many things for other people. You know, I have many I should say ministry friends all over the world. And some of them, the same person you see outside is the same person you see inside. And other ones, the person you see outside is very different than the person that you see if you get to spend some time with them just alone or by away from a bunch of people. Now, why does God say to get alone with Him? Anyone? Why? Ken. Yeah, exactly. Because God is more concerned with your relationship with Him than He is with any of the rest of this stuff. And now think about it. You can fool the whole world, and the whole world can think, ah, look, this is a holy man. This is somebody that knows God, that walks with God, right? But Jesus talks even, when you go forward, even one more chapter about many people that come to Him on that day and thought that they knew God but never really knew Him. Now that's a scary thought. Isn't it a scary thought to think that you could know somebody your whole life, or you think you know, but you never really knew that person?
Okay.
You know, sometimes that happens when, you know, people are like, oh, someone down the road, they were your neighbor for 15 years and then they went and did something terrible, or they went and shot themselves, or they went or who knows? And people are like, oh my gosh, I knew that person for so long. That's what they say. But the reason it shocks them is because the person that they thought that they knew did something completely out of character from what they ever thought possible with that person. And so everyone is shocked because they say, oh, I thought I knew that person, but I found out I really didn't know that person. Or sometimes there's that story of there's some lady that was living next door and the house was needed to be repaired and all these things, and then she dies and they find out she had $22 million in the bank. Yeah. There's one like that. Because the lady always saved and she always... But everybody's like, oh my gosh, I thought I knew this person, but there was something about this person I never knew. So now, God, He calls His people into a real relationship with Him. Now, there's a difference between a real relationship and the perception of thinking that you know someone. And God doesn't want any of His people to be surprised. See, when Paul wrote towards the later part of his ministry, he said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to... Basically, that I know who it is that I've been walking with and that I've been following. I have a relationship with him. Now there's a stark contrast between knowing Him and thinking that you know Him, or following something that is about Him but not really Him. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Because you know what happens? See, this is something that's ingrained into our humanity. Man and women, we want something that we can understand. We want to understand things. And so in order to want to understand, we want to make something fit so that tomorrow when I come back, it's the same thing. And unless I can make it fit, I'm not comfortable with it because it doesn't... I can't understand it and I can't control it. People want to control. And it's something that runs deep within even our DNA of these bodies that you're in. You're inside a body that wants that. You want to be able to understand and control in your flesh. And And it's something that God works to break His people of when they choose to follow Him. So He, when you start walking with Him, He starts challenging all those things that you believed and you thought that He should do or He should be. So when Jesus came into the world, first John came before Jesus and then Jesus showed up. And when Jesus talked about John, He said, look, John came neither eating nor drinking, and you said he's got a demon. The Son of Man comes eating and drinking, and you say here's a wine bibber and a friend of the worst kind of people. But He says, but what does He say? He says, but wisdom is proved right by her children. So ultimately what He's saying is that, look, if you can see the spirit of, if you can understand the spirit of truth that resonates within you, you won't get stuck on the external package and how something comes. You'll know truth when you see it. You'll know truth when you experience it because it resonates within you. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and they won't follow another. And now, without that, without that resonation inside your soul, what happens is people get very confused. And man keeps trying to make God fit something that he can work with. Okay. Can anybody tell me five differences between Protestants and Methodists? Methodists and Episcopalians. They're both Protestants, but give me some differences. Anything. Methodists and Episcopalians. Or Pentecostals and... Yeah, sure, why not? Go ahead. Exactly. Why? Because all of a sudden, right now, you're like, wait, they're close? No, they're not. What? Okay, give me some differences. And yet, as you think about it, like, does anything come to mind? 3, 4, 5... Sure, maybe like one will be like, oh, okay, they move in the gifts of the Spirit. No, it's much more. But entire movements have been built around certain labels, right? You know how many denominations there are in the world? There's over 30,000 different denominations. Christian denominations, quote unquote. Yes. Different ways that people say, no, we're different than you. We got the real thing over here. That's basically what you're saying. When somebody has a denomination, what they're saying is, no, we have the really, 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 really Jesus here. We have the real Jesus here. You have kind of a Jesus, but we have the real, real Jesus here. And we believe it so strongly that we will put it on our letterhead and we will put it on the t-shirt and we will have a conference about it. And then we'll have everyone come and we'll explain why this one is so much better than the other one. Now, what happens then, right there, when somebody says, no, what happens? What happens inside somebody's heart? No, then something inside the other person says, no, we have the real Jesus over here, not you. And all of a sudden now you have not a denomination, you have a division. And then you have a fight, and then you have an argument, and then all of a sudden, now, where are people? And now expand that from the denominations into all the religions of the world. So the Buddhists, the Catholics, the Muslims, the everybody, all these religions of the world, yes? Now what did Paul say when he was writing about all this? Did he say a Jew is one who is one outwardly, or a Jew is one who has something that happened in their heart? When he talks about that, right? He spoke about what's the difference between somebody is that ultimately who they are within and not what people see on the outside and on the external. But it's a difficult thing because it goes against people's human nature, because we want in our human nature to understand and to be able to make something that's comfortable. Because I want to know, if you call yourself a XYZ Christian and I call myself an XYZ Christian, that we now are agreeing on the same thing and we have the same brain. Okay, when I go through the scriptures, when I read through the people that God used, the Bible was written by, it's 66 different books, 40 different authors, and written over 1,500 years, period. Now you have people all the way from slaves all the way up to kings that are writing things that God uses in this book.
Everything
And you have warriors, you have prophets, you have priests. You have people that are all very, very different. But the one thing that they have in common is that they are given over to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God quickens them and uses them for His purposes. And He uses them in their flawed humanity, quickened by His Spirit, to accomplish something in time, in this reality. And when you and I pick up the scriptures, when we open it, God, this very same Spirit that used them, quickens you and quickens me to now see something in the scripture that we wouldn't have seen otherwise. See, it's the Spirit of God that unlocks the Word so that you can get that daily bread from God that He has for you. You can't get what God has from you through your natural carnal mind. It must be from the Spirit. Yeah, sure. You can do a Bible study and you can study and understand history and Greek words and all these kind of things, but you cannot get what the Spirit of God is saying to you unless the Spirit of God unlocks it for you to understand. I know you've had that experience where you've sat down and you've read a passage five times before, and like over the last year, and then you'll sit down, something's going on with you in your heart and your mind, and you will read that word and you'll be like, oh, look, this is what was going on just now. How many of you have that happened to your hands? Where you exactly? See, so when you were reading that scripture and you were going through a difficult situation, you were asking God for wisdom, you didn't know what to do, and then you open up that scripture, you've read it before so many times, and then all of a sudden, just like that, it's like light and it's right there, and that's exactly what you needed to keep walking with Him. Now here's the question. Did you get that because you're called an XYZ Christian? Did you get that because you have the sticker on the back of the three-wheeler that says Big Fish? You get that because you have nice big gold cross chain you wear everywhere, very proud. No, you got that because you are seeking the Father, and the Father who loves you and wants to have a relationship and a connection with you, is giving you this day your daily bread, what you need for this day to continue in the journey He has for you. Would to God that we would allow for the differences that He has put inside the body of Christ and see them as a strength rather than a weakness. I wish that we allowed much more for the differences we have in the body of Christ than because we always look to try to be the same. I wish sometimes that we really understood who the true body of Christ was, because you'd be surprised at some of the ones that really are His that are walking around. Yeah, I'll say something that will be controversial for you now, so if I haven't already done something yet. So one time, this was maybe about a year ago, I was having a conversation with a guy, and he would call himself a Buddhist. But in that conversation, he said, you know, Govinda, he said, this thing about Jesus being the Son of God. And Jesus dying on the cross for my sins and the sins of the whole world. He said, I believe that. I believe that in my heart. I believe that. Okay. That right there for me is a brother. That right there for me is somebody that, what's happened, that revelation, the same thing that happened with Peter, where God said, where Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which art in heaven, right? That revelation of who Christ Jesus is was made real in his life, in that man's life. Now, does it matter to me that he doesn't call himself a whatever? Does it matter that he doesn't go somewhere every Sunday when everyone else goes there? To me, as long as he continues in that revelation and allows that to grow in him, I know that this is a brother. For me, this is a brother in Christ. And the truth of it too is, this guy that I was talking to, there was many, many aspects of him that were so Christ-like, much more than I see in other places with other people. But he doesn't carry a label. The things that I saw with this person in his renouncing of the world, in his generosity to other people, in the way that he approached life, seemed much more like Jesus than a lot of other things I'd seen.
Okay.
So I'll leave you with that part of the challenge. Okay, now, what is it that Jesus calls people into when He's giving them some instruction about even prayer? He's teaching them, okay, when you get away with God, once you're away with Him, now you're going to have this conversation. What is it that you do? Now we could spend a lot of time on this, but I just want to cover one part, which is first, after, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So keeping things, everything in the right perspective and praising Him. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Okay, God calls His people into making and using their free will decision and choice to yield to the kingdom of God. Okay, one of the most amazing things that we were given as we were created is free will. You were given by God's design and choice, you were given the ability to choose. If you want to, you can get up right now and walk out. You have that choice. Or you can say, I want to sit here for the next 3 hours. You can choose. You can choose to do different things. I had another friend that told me, they said, your will is the most powerful force in the earth realm. And they said, in your life, as far as it pertains to you, your will is going to be done. And let me clarify that. Because the choice that you make is the choice that you will receive in your own life. So if you exercise your free will to choose the will of God and ask for that, you will have that in your life. Whereas if you choose of your free will to choose the world, to choose self, to choose something else, that's what you'll have in your life. So you get to choose and you also get the repercussions of those choices. I'm thinking of several friends keep coming back to mind. Another friend once said, you know, you can choose to do whatever you want, you just can't choose the consequences. See, I can do whatever I want, but I cannot choose what happens as a result of that choice. You reap what comes back to you. You can choose what you put in the ground, but what comes back to you is what comes back to you.
Okay.
See, this is why God says, look, choose life. Not because He's trying to take away from your fun, it's because He's trying to keep you from getting something that you really don't want. He says, choose life. Because God wants that what would come back to you is what it would be, there would be the ultimate best possible life you could live while you're here in the earth. Now, knowing that God has given you free will and given you the ability to choose, doesn't it make sense then that what the world and the world system and the devil would try to do is everything it could to take away your ability to choose? Doesn't it make sense that the devil would try to take away your choice? Or to limit your choice. So that your choices are between bad and terrible. Which one do you want? Do you want bad or do you want terrible? You know, I see this happening so many times, over and over and over again, and I watch people just go through the same drill, and I wonder, will people ever learn? Let me give you a global example. I'll give you a big one. Okay. Many, many countries in the world and global governments that are given over to the enemy, because a lot of that is going on right now. They can't get people to just go and start a war, or they can't get people to just go and do something terrible. So they can't say, okay, we want you to do something terrible. But there's a classic pattern that's done over and over again, and I like to call it problem, reaction, solution. And your solution is either choice A or choice B. And choice A and B are bad and terrible. So, in order to get you to do something, if I'm the world and I'm Yaksha, I'm a demon, I have to create a problem. Create a problem. And then get you to react a certain way. And then after you've reacted a certain way, then I get to say, oh, and look, here's your two solutions, bad and terrible. Which one would you like? Pick one. And quickly, you have to hurry up and do something dumb. Pick one. And people, because they allow themselves to lose their peace with God, they allow themselves to not walk in relationship with Him, they quickly get caught up in these things and they start, oh, we have to do something.
ඉතින් දැන් මේ තරමට මිනිස්සුන්ට ඒ වගේ දෙවියන් වහන්සේ දෙක තියෙන සමාදානේ නැති කරගෙන ඒගොල්ලෝ
Jesus' life, do you notice how many times everybody's trying to get Jesus to rush somewhere to do something? Oh, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. Quickly, 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 before he dies. Come, come. Oh, Jesus, the synagogue ruler's daughter, she's sick. She's about to die. She's only 12 years old. Quickly, come, come, come. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yeah? I mean, how many people do that? And how many people even come to God to this very day like that? Jesus, Jesus, don't you see the crisis? But when you serve a God who is eternal, when you... When you serve a God who is the resurrection, there is no deadline with Jesus. Deadline is something for the world. The world has a deadline. Now this is not a license for you to not get your work done. Get your work done. But I want to bring things into perspective. But I want to bring things into perspective. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He kept talking to people about, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." I don't give as the world gives it. But the peace that Jesus offers is within you. No matter what the situation is that's going on around, you can have a sea of glass all the time. Your heart can be still before the Father. And out of that, when the world starts spinning and it's going out of control, and the world keeps doing its problem, reaction, solution, you have the Spirit of God at the close of that saying, "Wait, stop, be still." And see, when you're in connection with the Spirit of God, you're also not limited to the choices the world will dictate for you. So your choices are not just A and B. Your choices are not just bad and terrible. Your choices, God says no, there's C, there's D, there's E, there's F, there's all the way up through, there's another 45 choices, and I'll show you each and every one of them. See, God gives wisdom and knowledge and understanding to His people. God gives solutions to His people where the world has none. But those come from that connection and that relationship that He has with those that know Him, that walk with Him. I'm not going to be able to do that. And they flow from the Spirit of God. And now one more thing you have to keep in mind in all of this. This is a kingdom of love. That love conquers all. That there is no fear in love. I want to just quick pause here. If people send you something on email, if they email you some prophecy or some word or anything like that, if the reaction in you is fear, you really need to check that. And also check the person sending that to you. There's too much of that foolishness going on these days. People sending everything all over the place. Scriptures tell you that perfect love drives out all fear. And you know something, the earliest church, they went through much more difficult times than we have yet to face yet. And when the Spirit of God would quicken people about a famine, for example, like in the book of Acts. Or even about their own death that they themselves would be facing in the future. It was not in a spirit of fear, but there was a peace of God that went with that, and God was quickening His people. Because there is a spirit behind everything that we do. You know that everything that you do, if you play a musical note, there's a spirit behind it. If you write a document, there's a spirit behind that document. If you say a word to somebody, there's a spirit behind that. And there is a spirit in those emails that people send to everybody too. And if it says one thing, if it says Christian, prophet, whoever, but if there's a spirit of fear in there, you know the source of where it's coming from. And for the sake of time, I'll save you the trouble, that source is not Jesus. So use some wisdom, use some discernment, because we serve a God of love and of peace, and even though there are difficult circumstances and situations going on around us, you can exist in all of them with the peace of God. And you can exist in those situations with knowing exactly what God has for you to do at this time. But just like people choose if they want to follow God, they also choose if they want to live in fear and in this mental gyrations in their head. Yeah. Let me put some perspective back to all of this. The very breath that you have in your lungs is on loan by God. Just try to stop breathing. Just try it right now. Can you stop yourself from breathing? For maybe 30 seconds, 1 minute, maybe 2 minutes if you have good... And then maybe you pass out and then you start breathing again. What? Yeah. Because there is a force that God has put in you that keeps you sustained even in the earth, even if you wanted to stop breathing right now. So God has put certain things in operation so that you exist right now in this world, in this paradigm. He keeps the earth on a 23.5 degree axis as it turns around in the solar system. Is it 93 million miles from the sun? Is that right? 93 million miles from the sun? The earth is at this distance? All of these little tiny things that God takes care of, all these little details that God makes sure are perfect just so you can sit and breathe His air and actually have a relationship with Him. He takes care of all of that. So if He takes care of all of that, what are you worried about? If the world was about to go from 93 million to 95 million miles away from the sun, what could you do about it? Yeah. And not just you. What could you and all the governments of the world and all of their money and all their spaceships and all of everything that they have, they could not stop that for 1 second. We exist in this world purely by the grace of God because He allows for us to do it this day. And that's why we say, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you so much, God, for giving me this day the chance to exist and to walk with you and to know you. I don't have anything to worry about. I don't have a care in the world. Because that's why He tells you in Scripture, look, don't be anxious about anything, but in all things with prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. Because if He can keep this beautiful gem of a planet at 93 million miles away from the sun, at this perfect axis so that everything stays in balance, can He not take care of whatever it is that's troubling you? No. Your problem is too big. It's much bigger than holding the world in balance. No. Relax. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, let it go. And remember that also out of this relationship that God is the motivator. See, we serve a God of love, and as you go and you're connected with Him and you walk in relationship with Him, everything that we do flows out of the love from Him through us into this world. That's the reason why we do what we do, is because we do the works that we see the Father doing. We do what Jesus leads us to do, what the Father has us to do. And we let the motivation come from Him. He does it. So use the choice and the free will that God's given you to allow Him to reveal everything that you need, and just walk with Him this day, trusting Him. Okay, my time is up, so stop there.